This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hi, good to have your company. My name's Simon Smart. I'm joined by Justine Toe. Hi, Justine.
Hello, Simon.
If we were to raid the DVD collections of many women across Australia, Justine, are we not likely to find copies of Pride and Prejudice, Jane Eyre, Wives and Daughters, Wuthering Heights,
yes,
that type of thing? I actually love Wuthering Heights. These are BBC-style adaptations of the work of Jane Austen, Charlotte and Emily Bronte, Elizabeth Gaskell, that type of person. Now, I know you're a big fan of these kinds of shows, but you also, I've heard you refer to them as period porn. Now, can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, it is a term that can be misleading. When I'm talking about period, I mean that the period films, you know, they're set in the 18th or the 19th century, and these all feature male romantic leads of a particular kind. So you might have heard women talking about Darcy and Rochester and Wentworth, etc., even the Heathcliffs, that women frequently swoon over. And I mean porn because a love of these kinds of period films and their male heroes can give women a bit of a Prince Charming complex, and I speak from experience, okay? So just like people...
Own up to it, Justin.
Oh, you know, Darcy, Wentworth, Rochester, yeah, all over that, yeah. So just like people who watch pornography might have unrealistic expectations about sex and what makes someone sexually attractive, then I think that women who watch too much period porn might have unrealistic expectations of male romantic partners today.
Justin, you're not equating the two things, are you?
Not at all, no. I think that pornography, in the way that we normally talk about it, is objectifying, it's dehumanising, and I think it's harmful for people involved. I'm not suggesting that watching period films should be put on the same level as that. I'm just suggesting that period films or period porn is potentially negative when it comes to making women idealise men of a particular kind.
Now, I happen to know that you went to Jane Eyre at the Sydney Film Festival. Did that film qualify as period porn for you?
Absolutely. I remember when I was talking about it later with friends, I was complaining that there wasn't enough build-up. There's a bit of a subtext going on there. And there was lots of women in the audience, lots of knowing giggles and that ripple through the audience whenever the male hero, Rochester, was on screen. It's quite interesting because Rochester as a character from Jane Eyre, he's supposed to be quite ugly, but he's played by this absolute babe, I'm sorry, Michael Fassbender. So that is supposed to give women some eye candy as well. So yeah, Jane Eyre did qualify as period porn.
So more seriously, it seems like you're a bit concerned about the way period films promote a romantic ideal that make ordinary men look quite shabby,
yeah,
in comparison.
I think so.
Do you think it's confined to those who watch, you know, the Jane Austen style films?
Not really. I mean, Twilight has been this major hit, and author Stephanie Meyer has said that her Edward Cullen is actually named for Rochester from Jane Eyre, and also Edward Ferrars from Sense and Sensibility, that Jane Austen film. And I saw an interview with her where she just, when talking about the character Edward, she said that she just wanted to write herself a fantasy, and that's what Edward is. So she acknowledges that Edward is a fantasy. And it's not just teenagers reading Twilight, but, you know, their mums are as well. In fact, there's that little, the very cute name, they refer to those mum fans as twums, okay? And it's funny, if you were to talk to many women and just say, have you seen The Notebook? Then a lot of them would say yes, okay? So that is also, that's a more recent film.
Surely women don't take the Prince Charming stuff too seriously. I mean, they enjoy swooning over perhaps a romantic hero, but they surely know that this is just fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, there is often a high degree of self-awareness. You know, women are wise to the Prince Charming complex. We're not fools in that sense. I'm not sure that it's all that helpful to have this romantic ideal of a man that is the standard that then all men have to live up to in some ways. And I also have to consider how my behaviour impacts on other people. You know, if my fiancé went on about how hot he found Jessica Alba, I would be pretty discouraged. And even though he would realise what he's doing, that self-awareness that he shows, I would have trouble dealing with. So I have to be very conscious that when I'm going on about Michael Fassbender, not so helpful for him.
Not to push it too much.
That's right. So
in light of all of this, how do you think men and women can best encourage each other in our relationships?
I think it's really important to respect our differences first up. That for many women, this romantic story that we've been fed in some ways has a really powerful hold on us. So the temptation is to idealise particular kinds of men or male qualities that can make us a little bit inattentive to the men that we actually find around us. And also for both men and women to recognise that the fantasy of the perfect man or the perfect woman is the easy option for both men and women. It's much harder, but also potentially much more fulfilling to know and love the real person. So in that light, for those girls out there like myself, sometimes it's better to close the book. turn off the DVD so you don't watch, you know, that kiss from North and South over and over again, which I admit that I have.
Oh, great to get your thoughts on that, Justine. Plenty to think about. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.